you can see already, there's on board here or up on the screen a test question. So I want you to take it seriously. How many in here have a birthday? Now, don't be shy. Come on, let's see who's had a birthday. Wait a minute, are there some exceptions in here who didn't have a birthday? All right. Well, here's another one. How many here were once babies? Well, some weren't, apparently. Boom, adult. Well, when it comes to babies, who doesn't like babies? Well, you may have some who are with... I just talked to someone today about babies, and she was reflecting on the fact that she now has two of them coming. And I think she said something like, God is torturing me, or us, because they have already a few on board. But who doesn't like babies? Now, I was once a baby. Imagine that. And so when I was a baby, as I was a young boy, I had big, curly, blonde hair. And so at the time, So I was once a baby too. Now this guy here that you're looking at, he also had blonde, curly hair. He was a wrestler. Anybody recognize him? Gorgeous George. Now, I'm really... You got it right. Score! Now, I had some thought about whether I would actually share this because I'm hoping that this won't come back to haunt me. Now, here are some babies. Exactly, they are cute. However, how about these babies? Woohoo! Very nice, huh? Or how about these babies? So we have pictures of Mary and Pretty and Amanda. Anybody able to pick out Amanda in there? I'm not sure how clear they come across. Yeah. Lots of babies. In fact, every day, 360,000 babies are born. Can you imagine that? This means about 131 million are born every year around the world. And if we break it down a little bit further, we have 15,000 that are born every hour, 250 born each minute, and 4 births per second every day of the year around the year. So I was figuring this out this morning, and I'm thinking that I'm hoping to get out of here at least under 15,000 today. Some are laughing and some are fearful. Well, what was that? Yeah, well, Chad, I picked out a calculator to do that. That was much too much for me. So there are famous babies. Now, this particular baby is over 90 years old this year. Now, the story of this baby is there was a canning company, and I recall, I did read it, but I've forgotten now, that this canning company wanted to introduce some new line of baby food. And so what they did was that they decided that they would have a contest in order to have, you know, people would present pictures of either real babies or with babies that they would draw and the like. And so when the contest was concluded, this particular baby was the one that was selected. Now, it was drawn by an artist who, when it was voted that this particular baby picture was chosen, she said, well, I will be willing to professionally finish it out. And they said, no, we'll leave it as it is, because originally it was, as we see it today, it was a charcoal drawing. Famous babies. Now, we pay attention to babies of all sorts, and it seems like the world pays a great deal of attention to royal births with all kinds of press coverage. Now, I think that's Princess D, or is it Diana? What's the right way to do that? Princess D, is it? And so this is her with Charles, and I think that the one on your left, would that be your left? Yes, left, you too. Directionally impaired, by the way. Hard to go on a trip with me. In any case, here we have what now is the grandfather, or the father to the father to the father, another child. So, some babies have even become kings. And we might think about these kings, but there's one thing in common for all the kings and for all mankind, and that is we all die. Now, I'm not sure how to say his name, but this one king, a famous king, Suleiman of the Ottoman Empire, was the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire for 69 years. Imagine that. He died too. But he didn't die for anyone else. He just died. Or Augustus of Rome. He was Augustus Caesar of Rome, and he was the emperor for 41 years, and he died, but not for anyone else. And then we have Louis the 14th of France. Man, look at those numbers, 1643 to 1715, 72 years. And remarkably, or perhaps unremarkably, he died. But he didn't die for anyone else. Even before these kings, there were some even more notable kings. And these were familiar with. So we've had some wonderful biblical kings. We had King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. For a while, he was a good king, and then, of course, we had difficulty with him. But he died, but he didn't die for anybody else. Or King David. When people are asked about what is the king in the Bible that you think about, almost everyone would say King David, and yet he died, but not for anyone else. Same thing with King Solomon, that was often said to be the wisest king who ever lived. He died, but not for anyone else. All these kings were once famous and important, but not one of them died for your sins. Not one of them died for you. Now, certainly they made a difference, as some of us make a difference, but not the difference. But think about this. Of all the babies that have ever been born, only one was designated to die for the sins of the world. We call him Jesus. And when I was thinking about the name Jesus, a song, I'm not going to sing it, If you want to sing it, you could, but I just want to read this. It's nice poetry. There's something about that name. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus. 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 Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. So why is this name so special? He's unique. His name, among all that have ever been born, is the only one foretold beginning in Genesis and throughout the Old Testament. Now I was thinking here, since he was foretold, and we'll see in a little bit how long it was back, so think here about, because many people today check on their forefathers, and through DNA checks or just going on Ancestry.com or whatever you go to, people can check. And so let's just see for the moment, what's the farthest back in generations or years anyone can go? Can anyone take their family here back to the 1700s? Anybody 1900s? We got a few. Imagine being able to go back hundreds of years. Imagine that. So that going back hundreds of years, what would it be like to be able to have a family story and you go, well, my great, 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 as many greats as it needs to go back to, like, let's go back to 1500. What's that give us? About, pardon? Gives us plenty. Nice calculation. Can you imagine going back that far and you can read about it and where your great, 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 whatever would say that Brad was going to be born and give all of the things that would happen to Brad in his life from the 1500s. Now, if Brad could tell a story like that, would that be kind of a neat story? Would you listen to that story? Anybody be interested in that? I would be interested. Anybody else? I'm the only one interested in Brad's story? Brad. What was that? Brad would be interested in his own story. Well, why is that an important consideration? Well, when it comes to Jesus, 353 prophecies have been fulfilled in Jesus. A lot of them going back over 1,000 years. Now, by any statistical analysis, which I haven't done, I've seen some things and the numbers boggled my mind, so I cannot remember them, but they were amazing that that would happen. Let's look at a few of those. Oh, did I get the right one? Yep. So here's one that says Jesus, our Messiah, would be born of a virgin. So this comes from the book of Isaiah. And this Isaiah would go back probably to the figures that I looked at, maybe something around 700 BC. So that would give us before Jesus, what, 700 years. And what the prophecy says is that therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, which means, anybody? God with us. 700 years in advance. Or here's one. Jesus, our Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Now, this comes from Micah, and he says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Several things here, and I'm not going to unpack those right now. And this, too, is over 700 years before. I mean, you got to think about this for a moment. How amazing this is that we have prophecy after prophecy. We're here. This is the 22nd Psalm, which predicts that our Messiah Jesus would be forsaken by God, mocked, ridiculed, hands and pierced by man. And we have it here, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Or imagine this baby born to die. But I am a worm and not a man. The reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. Imagine this. They separate with the lip. They were wag of the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Let him rescue you, because he delights in him. Or finally, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Well over 1,000 years ago, this was prophesied. Or another one, that Jesus, our Messiah, would be crucified with criminals. Here on Isaiah 53:12, therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. This is Jesus on the cross with two outside of him, two criminals, prophesied over 700 years ago. Or another one. Now, this probably is the most important of all, as we'll see in a moment, that Messiah would resurrect from the dead. Psalm 16:10, for you not only abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Or Messiah would be a sacrifice for sin. You see the uniqueness of Jesus. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell on him. Therefore, I will allot a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors, which we've just read. Jesus was and is unique. He's the unique person of the universe. Now, I'm going to show you a picture in a little bit, and I'm going to give you some time just to contemplate the picture. But I think the picture that I'm going to show you illustrates how Jesus, as it were, bookends life from beginning to end. But the picture is incomplete. And as you look at it, I want you to think about what's missing. so much is pictured in this image. But this most precious baby, and we all love babies, we figured that out before, but he was sacrificed so that we might live. But we must never forget that it is in his death that we celebrate. In fact, for a little bit here, I was concerned that Randy was going to preach my sermon today when he was praying. And it's the new life that he has that he brings to us. So I don't know if you can read that, but here we have the empty tomb. If you can't read the caption, it says, "He is not here," just as he said. And I'll look a little closer, but it's Matthew 28:6. What's the difference? Jesus Christ was resurrected. That's the difference. I was listening to a sermon at one point in my life, and I remember the fellow who was giving the sermon asked the question, "Have you seen any resurrections lately?" That's the difference. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:12-15 puts it very clearly. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there was no resurrection of the dead? But what he says next is the pivotal point. Sorry for leaving you behind there. Verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is all in vain. And we can all go home because we've got no reason for being here. But Jesus, our Messiah, he didn't die. In fact, he lives today. And we celebrate his birthday, but his birthday has no significance at all, except for the resurrection. As we celebrate communion in a moment, let us remember that we can also join him in everlasting life. And this is broadcast throughout the scriptures, but there's one simple one, and it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That truth made a difference in my life because at a time in my life when things, frankly, were not going well, I won't give you the details of this, but it was a low point in my life. Someone told me about the truth of this verse, and as we say, many others, 45 years ago plus. It made a difference in my life. Huge difference. I am delighted here today to be able to reflect on my awareness of that truth and in my recognition at the time that God aided me in believing that he was my Savior and that he died If I was the only man on earth, he would have died for me. Such love there was with Jesus. So today, having contemplated the things we're talking about this baby become man, become Savior, become our life. If this isn't something that you have contemplated before and come to a place where you've decided this was true, today would be a good day. Because when it's all said and done, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are forgiven. I am forgiven. As I contemplated putting this all together, I couldn't think of a song that would be more fitting after what we've just shared together. It's a song I'm sure you're familiar with. But perhaps as you think about, as we sing this song, maybe you'll think about it in a new way. It's called, Mary, Did You Know?